This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got a lingering glance at the Rochester airport once. I don't know what that was. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. Now in its, 10th exhilarating year, if you don't count the five-year hiatus.
Something like that, yeah.
I want to say it was shut down for retooling, but clearly it's back and hasn't been retooled very much, other than the fact that sometimes we're doing it without guests. And now, as today, even though technology, there's no way anyone would know we're doing it via Skype because our on-the-go schedules. Plus, I like... The thing I like about, by the way, let's just get into it. I'm here with my partner in crime, the brains behind the operation, Mr. Chris Gersbeck, who is Skyping in from parts unknown. Where are you now, Chris?
I'm at my home in Forest Hills, Queens.
Wow, you shouldn't have given away the actual location. I love Forest Hills.
It's great. You should come by sometime.
Oh, but let's slow it down. But no, I would like to. Isn't John McEnroe from Forest Hills? No, he's from Douglaston.
Oh, that's interesting because I grew up right next to Douglaston in Little Neck.
I forget. I'm probably. Oh, but a lot happening today. Well, first let's get into thanking everyone for rating, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever the hell else platforms. And thanks to the people who have been supporting us on Patreon, helping us keep this humble operation afloat, adrift, however you want to look at it. We have a few, couple people we need to thank today, Chris. Yeah. And if you want to be thanked in this fashion, go to patreon.com/Dave Hill, where right now all sorts of incredible things await you. Gang member nicknames, crank calls, t-shirts, patches. And please do it, because God, we got to unload some of these shirts. You know, they're taking up space, let's be honest. And so go there, patreon.com/Dave Hill, if you want this nightmare to continue, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, which is a delight. I realize people, you know, they're like, I want to hear some rambling. I'm in.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but today we want to thank Neff Connor. Thank you for joining us in our mission, Neff. Neff, your dangerous snakes who hate bullshit gang member name is Neff Connor, stabber of dreams. I don't know if is that too harsh, like metaphysically. I don't even know.
No, I like that because it's violent, but in a sort of, you know, vague way.
I like to think of the stabbing of dreams like when someone's asleep, not someone's like dreams as in like life goals. I don't want anyone to take it that way. Neff wouldn't do that. Russ Martacci, who, and this is something people can do. He raised his pledge amount, which thank you. That's above and beyond. I'm going to call him Russ Raising the Stakes by Several Dollars Martacci, the human hammer. No, let's just call him. Are you vacuuming?
No, there's someone vacuuming the hallway. Should I move?
Stop. We have a really popular podcast to do. No, that's fine. Lucy's here. Hey, sweet Lucy. Lucy's here. Lucy got into a little. Let's give I think we. Russ Martacci's Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit gang member name is, I think, the Human Hammer. Let's give him that.
Okay.
We usually don't go so, potentially violent, but he could be just hammering points home, you know?
Sure.
Strong argument.
We don't know where he's from. He didn't put his address in here.
No, no, but I kind of like that. I like when people don't include their address because it makes them seem more dangerous.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do need to have their address to send them things like patches and assorted whatnots. What other? Oh, so yeah, I don't even want to drag her into this, but my hellhound over here got into a little scrape at the dog park today.
Oh, did she win?
She's not. I mean, she brings the hammer down. Not unlike Russ Martacci.
Mm.
She's getting up now. She's shaking it off. Usually, like when people mess with her, she just very quickly like brings the hammer down. It's just like game over.
Yeah,
but. Today she got blindsided, and this dog was just on her before she even knew what was going on, and she was kind of like, what the fuck? and then everyone had like sort of jumped in, and she kind of ran, was like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
And she kind of ran for cover for a little while, and then I felt bad because she was just kind of like, okay, what was up with that? That was weird. And then she was like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, are fights a common occurrence at the dog walk? I never had a dog, so I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. It's pretty much standard.
Do the owners start fighting? Like, have you ever gotten into an argument with anyone?
No, I never have. Sometimes people will get into it a little bit, like. It's usually sort of irrational stuff. Like someone will be like, why did your dog take my dog's ball? Like stuff like where they don't realize like, oh, these are animals and they, you know, they don't give a shit. Stuff like that happens, but rarely anything, beyond that. Some people are really get into chatting at the dog park, and I kind of hang back. I don't get into. There's a guy that I chat with quite a bit. But I'm sort of that way in life. I don't really talk to anyone unless they talk to me first. I make my way through this world.
I try to avoid any kind of conversation with strangers.
Yeah. Unless it's like, hey, do you know where the utensils are? Here, right.
Chipotle.
No, I was gonna say Chipotle, but I do not go to Chipotle. Well, it's not saying I'm above it. I just don't like it.
I think you are a little above it.
I might be above it. It just seems like, I don't know. I was just thinking about this yesterday, Chris. Do you remember in New York City for a very long time there was a chain of burrito places called Burritoville?
Yes, I do.
And they disappeared, and then they kind of came back a little differently. I think what they realized was I really liked it because they had unlimited chips and salsa, free chips and salsa.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I was just a pretty young thing right out of college, that's where I would strike. You sure. Order, like, a taco or something. And then, you know, you really get your calories in by eating a tremendous amount of free chips and salsa. But I think that's probably what drove them under.
Yeah, people take advantage of that kind of stuff. It's like the free breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Exactly. People are like, let's just go and just destroy this place. But anyway, I used to go there all the time. Right after college, and their slogan was or is "We're Mexcellent," which find me a better slogan for a Mexican restaurant than that. And then, okay,
we're Mexcellent.
Okay, so what happened in 2008? This sounds about right. One of the former owners of Blimpy, so they closed all of their Manhattan. They just vanished. And then someone, the owner of Blimpy, former owner, bought it, did a makeover, and had several locations. But when they opened up again, guess what, Chris?
No more free chips and salsa?
That's exactly right. And you, if you want to lose Dave Hill's business, you pull that kind of shit. That's it. Because I was like, nope, we're done here. And I never returned. Because you can't, I don't know. I don't think you can go back from free chips and stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like when they kind of, when I think Chipotle started charging extra for guacamole or something. And there was like a huge uproar.
Yeah, as there should be. But you know what it is there's bad eggs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like 22-year-old Dave Hill or whoever's taking too much guacamole at Chipotle.
Yeah.
These are the people.
They've ruined it for everyone.
Yeah. And you know, can I just say, I'm going to change gears really fast here. And I have a friend and he's played in bands and stuff. So I feel like he should know this. I don't think he listens to this podcast. So I think we're safe. And it's not just him. And you're a performer as well, Chris. You know this.
Uh-huh.
The people, when you have a show, and it's like a fairly big show, people that are like, hey, do you want to get dinner right before your show? Or, hey, we're going to be having dinner a mile away. Why don't you come by right before your show and have a drink? People do this shit. I've been doing shows since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And people constantly, don't they understand? Like, no, I'm kind of getting ready for the show. I can't go have free chips and salsa. Now, that I would have, actually. But,
Yeah, no, you need to get into the right headspace.
Yeah, people, I do not. And my friend, he has played in bands for years. And he's like, oh, so what's the deal? I'm, you know, breaking. On the day we're recording this, I'm opening for Broken Social Scene, the great Canadian collective.
That'll be tonight, right?
Tonight.
I guess it was last night by the time this goes up, but
right. So it will have been last night that I did this, and let's just assume. Gosh, I don't want to say let's assume it went great because what if something goes horribly wrong and I'm in the papers by the time this, you know, like because you know that's happened. Not the papers part, but things going horribly wrong.
Yeah, Brooklyn Vegan's gonna write a scathing review of your performance.
Oh man. So, yeah, that's actually why I was a few minutes late to pot it up because I was sort of getting my stuff together for the show tonight, making sure I was ready to come out with guns blazing because Webster Hall, I think it holds like, what, a lot of people.
It's like 1,200, I think.
No, it's big. Bigger than that, Chris.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. I think it's bigger than that.
I used to know the capacity of like every major venue in New York City.
Webster Hall, NYC capacity. Jay-Z. Okay. 1,500.
Oh, that was close.
Close enough. But 300, that's, you know.
That's a lot of extra people.
Yeah. I'd be lucky to get just 300 at a Dave Hill show.
Yeah. It's sold out, right? They're playing like three nights or something, right?
It wasn't sold out, and then they announced that I was opening, and then,
and then yeah.
No. It was, they're all sold out. I think, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they're all sold out, and but they were kind enough to ask me to open tonight, so.
Yeah, it's exciting. I like when comedians open for bands. I saw Todd Barry open for Superchunk once.
Nice.
That was super fun. And yeah. That's exciting. You're going to have a great set.
It's exciting, but sometimes, you know, that many people, even if, say there's 1,500, and hypothetically, if 1,000 of them are like, oh yeah, awesome, a comedian's on stage, that's, but if 500 are like, not into it, just want to talk and drink beer, that can be, that can put a damper on the situation. But sure. I've opened for a variety of musical acts. I opened for Ryan Adams several before all this stuff that is happening. And his crowd was were great. And
you opened for Snoop Dogg.
Not as great.
Yeah.
If you can imagine. Ryan Adams crowd I did several shows opening for him and his band, and his crowd was always super polite and attentive and fun. And Snoop Dogg's crowd, not as much. But I totally get it. Like, if you're like, I'm going to go see Snoop Dogg. And then
Dave Hill comes out.
Yeah, the greatest comedian of all time walks on stage. Can be jarring. But I opened for Quicksand a couple times
at Easter
Hall. And their crowd was great. Like, because you think, well, they're there to super rock out, you know. But they were, like, super nice. And then I did a... I don't know. Not to go through every... I won't go through every single band I've done. I've only really had it be kind of go south a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Usually it's really good. But it can be bad, because sometimes people are like, I want to go rock. I don't want to listen to some guy talk. So we'll see.
Right.
By tomorrow, I could wake up in jail, Chris.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're a good fit for Broken Social Scene, I think. I think their crowd will love you.
I hope.
And you're a fan of their music, I'm assuming, too.
I am, yeah. I'm very excited. And I've known Brendan Canning, one of the main guys, for years. I'm not well, but like my first band, Sons of Elvis, played with his first band, Head with two H's. We played this big music festival in New Orleans, like in 1995 or 6 or something.
Wow.
We were just pretty young things. Just bare, you know, just peach fuzz. And we played this massive outdoor thing with all these bands. And then, and we hit it off with those guys and they were super nice. And then I ran into them a few more times over the years, and turns out we have mutual friends. And anyway, I did a show. I did Live From Here with Chris Thiele in Minneapolis a couple months ago, and they were on the show as well. And we had a super fun time together. And then they were like, hey, do you want to open one of our New York shows? And I was like, all of them, did you say? And no, they said no. Understandably, because they wanted to share the wealth. So there's some other, I think, musical acts the next two nights. But it's weird. Like, I got... This is what, like, this is a thing that happens very rarely, but when it does, it's like incredibly annoying. I think it's maybe only happened once to me, where someone reaches out like, hey, this band's coming through. Would you be available to open for them? And then I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I'm like, what's the deal? And they're like, oh, we're not sure yet. We're just seeing if you are available and interested. So, like, this band did, like, a few nights at some big venue. And their people or whatever were like, yeah, we're just seeing. We're not. They weren't offering me the gig. They were just like, hey, would you do it? Would you even think about it? And then I was like, yeah, sure. And then they didn't have me do it. They had someone else do it. And I was like, why did you email me?
Yeah, I remember years ago you mentioning on the goddamn Dave Hill show on WFMU that you opened for a Weezer cover band once.
Yeah, that was that did not go well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, but there's a variety of factors at play there. one of which is I almost never drink before going on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was a different scenario from that. I got asked to, I've told this story before, but for those who don't know it, years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, like 10 years ago, at least, I got asked a Weezer... They were called the Blue Album Group, and they played, as hinted in the name, they played
just the Blue
Weezer's
album.
Blue Album in its entirety. And so I got asked by my cousin's friend's boyfriend, now husband, great guy, and I won't drag him into this by mentioning him, he is like, hey, would you want to come and host this, do some stand up and host this night? It's going to be this guy. The other band was Poingly, this one man sort of noise rock thing. Awesome. I haven't seen him in a while. Anyway, but so I get there and I go on stage and I do like 20 minutes and I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. And it was mostly just kind of crowd work and bullshitting and whatnot. And then Poingly comes on. He's great. And in that time, while Poingly's on, like a shitload of people show up. Like there weren't that many when I first went on. Uh-huh. It's just kind of, and then all these people, and I think it was like super like people coming in from Long Island, like from all over the place. And so the place is packed. And it's at Glasslands, which I think is now closed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that place.
And which is a cool place. And so Poingly finishes and I go to my, you know, this guy. I was like, so should I just introduce the band? He's like, no, go up there and do another set. And I'm like, well, what should I do? And he's like, I don't know, just... By the way, almost identical scenario from when I opened for Snoop Dogg, minus what's about to happen. He's like, just go do another 20 minutes, see how it goes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, go for it. So I go out there, and now here's the thing. Free beer, and I'm kind of like, ugh, I don't know. I don't want to be here. So I'm like kind of, you know, I'm drinking a lot of free beer. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking like as if I'm just hanging out. Mm-hmm. So I've had like 3 or 4 beers. And, you know, it's going to my head. And so I go out there and like right away, like people are like, what? Who's this guy? We want the Weezer tribute band. And about half the people are like, oh, cool. This is the guy from before. That was fun. But the rest were like, get this guy out of here. We want Weezer songs. And then so I'm kind of talking and then I get pelted in the face with like a coin. I get like nailed.
Oh.
And I've never been hit by a projectile on stage before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what the fuck? And like, who would do that? What kind of garbage person would throw a coin at another human being? Like at their face. Like, yeah. It just, I can't imagine.
That's a pretty small space too. It's not like, you know, you wouldn't be able to see
who did it. Well, I couldn't see. It was dark, but I was like, there was like 200 people there. And there's a balcony. And I think I later found out it was a young woman who did it. Someone was like, I know who did it. This was like the next day or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And so I got fucking nailed. And I was, you know, sober Dave would have been like, oh, okay, I'm out of here. I don't want to be on stage for this. But drunk Dave was like, we need to find this person. And so I start talking about it. And like half the audience is like, yeah, get this person. So I'm like substitute teacher. I'm like, hey, whoever threw this coin, why don't you get up here on stage and identify yourself? I'm not going to fight you, but like at least own it, you know, if you're going to behave this way. And like half the crowd's like, yeah. And the other half's like, get out of here, you fucking idiot. And it goes on for a few minutes and I bring the band up and they're like kind of waiting to play. And I'm still like, where's the person? And someone throws another coin. I think maybe the same person hits me like right below I ended up getting a black eye from this.
Oh.
And I'm nailed. And I was just like, what the fuck? That's really fucked up. And the band had come on stage and they had set down a bunch of those big plastic beer cups. You know what I mean? Like
big
beer cups. So I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. And I guess coming from, you know, I'm a rock and roller, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal to do what I did next. But I picked up like 4 of the beers 2 at a time and just dumped them on the crowd. Thinking like, all right, you're going to be rock and roll at me, I'm going to be rock and roll at you.
Yeah, sure.
And they did not like that at all. And they just started flipping the fuck out. Understandably, I guess, if you're the kind of person who's going to go see a Weezer tribute band, you're also probably the kind of person that's not going to kind of roll with a beer shower. So I get off stage and I walk over to the bar, which is covered in like plastic cups of half full beers, you know? So I just start throwing them back at the audience, who's like throwing shit at me and throwing cups at me. It's a really negative situation. And I'm just thinking like, oh God, this is so stupid. I should have never agreed to this. And I've just behaved like an idiot all night. And this is the dumbest situation ever. And then, so the bartender's like this, you know, Williamsburg dude with a beard and literally a trucker hat.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to get out of here. Don't come back, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. You're right. I should leave. And then I realized that I was like, you know, this is such a stupid night. I should definitely make it as bad as it can be. So I, as I'm walking out the door, I decide I'm going to grab his hat and wave. And I just start running down the street as fast as I can. I can tell you exactly what I was wearing at the time, because I ripped my clothes and get them sewed. And so anyway, so I'm running and I run like down to like whatever the side street is there, south something or another. And I bang a right and I'm running up the street because, and then so like my drunkenness and the fact that I haven't tried running fast since I was like 16 and the slight incline, I just wipe out really hard. Into the ground, and like all these, I can hear there's like a mob chasing me.
Oh my God.
And I know this because I'll get to this in a second. So anyway, like it's like five or six dudes and I wipe out, and then I think I have to create a diversion. So I throw the hat like away from me. I just whip it across as far as I can.
Like you're throwing sausages at a bunch of dogs.
Yeah. And like it worked. They just kind of went for the hat. And then they grab the hat, and thankfully I can hear the bartender. If you're listening, thank you. He just goes, because they were like, should we get him? And he's like, no, I just wanted my hat back. And so I'm like trying to get up, and this, what I remember to be a giant man, but he's probably like an inch taller than me. He's like grabs me and he's like picking me up. And I think like, oh, now he's going to start punching me. And I was like, don't, come on, let's not. I was like, we're done. Let's not fight. This is stupid. And he's like, no, you're Dave Hill, right? I'm like, what? And he's like, you're Dave Hill. He's like, I'm a fan of yours. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I saw everything that happened back there. Like, those people are fucking assholes. And I was like, yeah, you're right. They are assholes. And then I remembered, like, I was supposed to be paid, like, some percentage of the door. So.
Did you go back?
And I have this muscle with me now. It's like my bodyguard or something. So I was like, hey, you know, I was supposed to be paid for this. And he's like, oh, should we go back and get your money? And I'm like, yeah, let's go get the money. And so I go, and I outside is the guy who booked me to do the show, and he's like, what the fuck happened? Like, you tell me, like, where the fuck were you? And he's like, I was in the bathroom. Oh, I'm like, God. So I'm like, why did you leave me hanging on stage that long and I get fucking hit with a coin? Like, why didn't you?
Yeah, why didn't you do something?
He's like, I was in the bathroom. And I was like, for 20 minutes? And I was like, well, you left me to fend for myself, and I'm a little drunk, so I just handled it the way a drunk person might, by making it much worse. And then so I have this guy with me, and I'm just kind of, not that I'm thinking we're gonna like shake down my girlfriend's friend's boyfriend, but I'm like, I want my money. And he's like, are you serious? After that, I'm like, yeah, give me my money. And so. I think he's just like, what is happening? And he just is like, okay. And he like counts out the money, and it was like, it was like $300 or $400.
Oh, wow.
And he gives me the money. And as I'm standing there, this car pulls up and there's these young women in it, and one of them throws an energy drink out the window, and it hits me in the leg and kind of spills on my leg, and they're like, "You fucking asshole, you got beer all over my iPhone, and you broke my iPhone." And anyway, so I upset a lot of people that night, and then I just kind of walked a couple blocks, and I got around the corner. I just started laughing my ass off. I was like, "That was the dumbest fucking thing in the world."
Yeah.
And I'm the biggest idiot in the bunch. and so like I went back into the city, and I just like hung out with a few friends, and we drank beer on my dime with that money that I just made. But then the thing about it is someone had filmed it. I can't remember. Somebody.
Oh my God. Is it up online somewhere?
No. I have it somewhere on my computer. I cannot bear to listen to it. I sent it to my friend David Rakoff, who died a few years ago. But he's the one person I've shown it to because I told him this whole story. So someone sent me, and he was just like, "Oh my God." He watched it. He was like, "Oh, that was ex-." But anyway, someone filmed basically from the point where I had been hit once. And I'm just sort of like, "Get up here." And I get hit. They filmed everything, and they're up in the balcony, and they shoot the door, and there's like six people running out the door after me, like Keystone Cops.
Oh my God. It's the
dumbest looking thing ever. And you see me like grab the hat and sprint away, and it's the dumbest, and it's excruciating. I just remember sending it to my friend David and have him calling me and just be like, "Oh geez, that was so painful to watch."
Maybe we should put this up on Patreon.
Patreon. Yeah, this is Patreon content, but, oh my gosh, what a dumb thing that was. And I learned a lesson in the process.
Yeah. Don't open for Weezer cover bands.
Would I do it again? Sure. But it just cements. I don't like performing. I don't like being on stage at all and having had anything to drink. Like even this past weekend, I hosted or judged. I was a judge on the awesome Shred for Your Life in LA. Mm-hmm. And there was beers on stage for the judges. And so I had a couple of beers over the course of, you know, this show. I think I had one before and I had one during or whatever. And like even just a little bit, I was like, "Oh, like I'm not drunk or anything, but I'm like, I'm not enjoying this as much because I'm like kind of clouded by beer." And I think that's the main thing. I don't like performing, having any sort of altered state happening. Yeah. And then when you go a little further, having way too much, you end up throwing beers on the audience that pelted you with coins. Anyway, how much time have I stolen from the listeners' lives with that story?
Like 15 minutes, but it's a good story.
I apologize, everybody.
I love anyway, that story.
But it was sort of a telephone wire thing. Like over the course of the day, I started getting like text messages the next day. Like, "Hey, what? I heard you did something insane last night." You know, I heard, and then some people are like, "I heard you fucking did the most awesome thing last night." Different takes on what had happened, and people like, you know, kind of contacting me, and "I heard you did this," and they were all like, it was like Rashomon. It was like totally different takes on what happened, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that won't happen at when you're opening for Broken Social Scene. Hopefully we don't have to add an extra, you know, like 10 minutes to explain what happened at the end of this episode.
No. I'm a more mature fellow now. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think. I may not be. I'd like to think so. But I think everything's going to be fine. And if someone is, you know, unkind to me, I'll just roll. What I learned from opening for Snoop Dogg and a few other situations I've been in where there's a lot of people talking. You just have to like kind of imagine it a different being in a different scenario where, like, and you just kind of imagine everything's fine and you just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, that's professionalism, Chris.
That's right. We have a couple of questions from listeners. Do you want to?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We have a few, actually.
Let's do it.
All right. And this, these are all from the Facebook group that we created, Dave Hill's Facebooking Incident. So Matt Edwards asks, will there ever be an Uptown Sinclair reunion?
Oh, that's an interest. Who asked this?
Matt Edwards.
Thank you, Matt. Uptown Sinclair was a band I had about, gosh, I think like 20 years ago. I guess it was like early 2000s. It was a band I formed with my friend Tim Parnon and a couple other friends. And Tim plays in Cobra Verde and Sweet Apple now and Falling Stars, a lot of great bands. Mm-hmm. And he's also the vice president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
So there, he's doing great. And so... Yeah, we had this band, and then we made one record, sort of power pop. Well, it was definitely power pop. And then I came to New York for the weekend and never returned. I didn't plan on not returning. It's just how it worked out.
Yeah.
And so that was the end of the band. We were talking about a reunion because the Japanese label that released a couple of the Valley Lodge records, my current band, one of my current bands, they were like, hey, you know, we would put out the Uptown Sinclair record again. Or like, they were like, oh, if you have like copies of it, we'll distribute it over here in Japan. Uh-huh. And then so we were like, oh, if they do that, we'll go tour Japan. And then I think it was literally like my buddy Will who put out the copies of the album that he had were in storage somewhere and he couldn't figure out where. And so that was the end of that. We just didn't do it. So I think probably no, I don't think it would ever happen. But I think the world's going to be okay. But,
Yeah.
So that's that.
Jeremy Patterson asks, how is Don from Union Beach doing?
That's a good question. Don from Union Beach is a guy, as hinted at the name, he's named Don. He lives in Union Beach, New Jersey, and he would call into my radio show when I was on WFMU, and he'd be like, hey. And he was a listener favorite / not favorite, and he was a polarizing figure. I view him as an itch I didn't mind scratching, so I was a fan. I had heard that he kind of like fallen on slightly hard times and was delivering pizzas because like I think he was in construction and something happened and he was delivering pizza. That's the last I heard. That's all I know. I'm sure he's good though.
Do you hear from a lot of your regular callers now that the WFMU show's on hiatus? Like, has Ing Dave reached out to you at all?
Yeah, I keep in touch with Ing Dave. And as we're speaking, I just got an email from another listener. Though he, to be fair, seems to just put me on group emails and emails WFMU people. And, I'm not sure what it's about. So, but yeah, I do hear. And there's like a whole, there's like little discussion groups that sort of the, you know, as I've said in the past, I think, the purpose of any art is to bring people together. And my favorite thing about having done the WFMU show is all the friendships, not only that I made, but seeing all the friendships that other people made.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
So I think that's super cool. Like, the show is sort of irrelevant I think what matters is like people from all over the country and all over the world connected, and you know, some actually see each other in real life and get together, and I think they are involved in each other's lives in like a meaningful way, and I think that's super cool, and I think that's the coolest thing that can happen. I think it's the end game of all.
Absolutely.
Of everything. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we've been doing the History Fluffer show at QED, and we always have a good regular crowd there. And I love it.
Yeah, totally. And it's growing. Like, speaking of History Fluffer, please check out our other podcast, History Fluffer, which is slow. It's, we recorded every week at QED Astoria. As I'm talking right now, there's all these little ants in my living room, and I don't know what it's about. Shit. I can only guess. I mean, there's like five of them, which is five more than there were yesterday, I'll tell you that. And signs point to, what happens is sometimes I buy chocolate-covered pretzels, dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah, you've given me some of those.
Not often, because, you know, try to watch my figure. But once in a while, on a Saturday, I'll get some maybe, and like all it takes, you just drop like a tiny bit of chocolate, and that's enough to draw them out.
That happened to us at QED once. A friend of mine, Matt Reiser, he's a super funny comedian. He does this whole act that involves fake blood, and he got blood all over the floor at QED, and you know, we tried cleaning it up. And then the next day, I open up, and there's just like ants everywhere.
Oh, pretty gross. Man. What a fucker. No, just kidding. Well, it depends what he used for the fake blood, because, you know, one of the main ingredients in fake blood is sometimes
corn syrup.
Corn syrup. Yeah, so depending on what kind of fake blood he's working with.
Yeah. Were you playing around with any fake blood, or you think it's just the pretzels?
I don't play around with fake blood too much at the house. Mm-hmm. I think, if anything, it would be the pretzels, because it's the only, I don't really walk around eating ant-friendly food very often. Usually, yeah. I sort of just eat meals, not a big snacker.
Yeah, you're very healthy.
I try to be, because I tried to get, well, I think I succeeded in getting healthier. And now that I'm healthier, I mean, I lost some weight and stuff, and my cholesterol levels are very high, and now they're not, to my knowledge. We'll find out. So I'm trying to maintain that. But the Dave of just a couple of years ago, which is fucking rock, dude, I would literally eat whatever the fuck I felt like all the time.
Yeah, same here.
And then one day, my friend Pete came over, and he was like really lean and mean. And I was like, Pete, you're so lean and mean. Said it just like that. And and he told me what he did. He read this book, The 4-Hour Body. And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I ended up just like taking a picture of one of the pages in the book that tells you what to eat. And I just did that, and I lost like 25 pounds.
That's incredible. I lost 50 pounds just by quitting alcohol.
That's amazing.
That's all I had to do. I eat like crap right now.
How much were you drinking that?
Well, not a lot, but I was, you know, I was working at QED like almost every night at the time. And, you know, you always get like a shift drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of my shift, I'd have a beer like every night. It wasn't like I was getting out of control or anything. But then, you know, you have a beer, maybe you have a second, then you get hungry, you stop by a diner on the way home. It just, you know,
it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you got 500 or 1,000 extra calories.
Yeah. Every day. Oh. So adds up.
Yeah. Beer is like a gateway thing.
Yeah.
For putting on weight. That's why I drink red wine now. Like a vampire.
All right.
Drink beer on occasion. Maybe one day a week I'll cut loose and have some cold beers.
Mm-hmm. I do enjoy the taste of beer. I just know if I start again, then I'll, you know, fall into that habit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's been a year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw you tweeted about that. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you know what I also found, like, because I used to eat, like, easy, like, a couple pints of ice cream a week. And then I stopped doing that, and I used to have like some sweet thing literally every day. I'd have a cookie, something. And then once I like put myself on this diet, you couldn't do that. And then now I'm not super interested anymore.
Yeah.
I just kind of like once in a while will have some chocolate pretzels maybe.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm pretty bad with candy. I eat a lot of Sour Patch Kids. That's my
go-to. Yeah, I almost never eat candy. And then I used to always get dessert like at a restaurant. I love tiramisu.
Oh yeah.
And I used to always get it. And now like I have it like once every 6 months. And now I'm like super ripped and I walk around with no shirt on legit all the time.
Yeah, I heard once you get comfortable walking around without a shirt on, your life improves dramatically.
Hard to put a shirt back on, to be honest.
Yeah. Who's that? I think Damien, the guy from that band Fucked Up, said that.
Oh, but he's got a comfortable build though, right?
He lost a lot of weight, but but even before that I remember him saying at a show that he just felt better about life once he got comfortable taking his shirt off.
Yeah, well, it is a good feeling, like not feeling like horribly disgusting.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay,
Dom Elefante asks, can your leather have too many studs?
Ooh. No, I guess I would say no. I don't think so.
Like a leather jacket?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Of course not. No, it cannot. That's a simple answer.
More studs, the better.
More studs, the better. Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Well, let's do one more quick question.
One more quick question.
Is it weird? Nick Hubert asks, is it weird that I have started collecting vinyl even though I don't have a record player?
Yes and no. No, because then one day you'll get a record player and you'll be like, cool, now I can listen to my vinyl. So I think it's all going to work out. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I started buying vinyl when I was like in junior high, and I didn't have a record player till college, maybe. So.
Oh wow! Yeah, so you can relate to Nick Hubert. I think Nick lives in England. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I know that name from Twitter, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, but no, I don't think that's weird. I actually, people give me vinyl all the time. Because I think they assume I have like a vinyl library in my home. And so people always giving me vinyl, and I don't tell anyone, but I don't have a record player. Because I have too much shit, and I worry, I don't have room. If I do get a turntable, then I will start collecting vinyl, and then we've got a real situation.
Mm-hmm.
So no. But maybe someday when I get that house in the woods with the murder hole.
Are any of your band's records out on vinyl?
Yeah, Painted Doll is out on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
A colored vinyl. It's awesome. You can get it at tprecords.com. And I have a few here at the house. Yeah. And so there's your answer. And I imagine some of the future records that are coming out will have be in vinyl as well.
Nice.
All
right. You want to drive it home?
Yeah, I'm going to take Sweet Lou out for a walk. Let her sprinkle the neighborhood. Maybe take a couple dumps. Who knows? But thank you, Chris Gersbeck, my partner in crime.
Of course.
Brains behind the operation. Thank you, dear sweet listeners. We'll be back. I think we're going to get maybe a guest for next weekend, though I'm really enjoying this. Mike Armada of Montreal. And a Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit street gang member. She wrote me last week saying she really enjoys these episodes where it's just the two of us. Because she says it reminds her of her brother and his friends talking when they were teenagers. I'm taking that as a compliment.
Sure, yeah. That's quite a compliment, actually.
Yeah, so thank you, Mike. And Micah is going to be on our Canadian podcast, which we're going to unleash on some people soon, on the world soon. So anyway, in the meantime, rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you see fit. Go listen to History Fluffer, our other podcast. And if you can, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Dave Hill. The cops are coming. They're like, that's enough podcasting out of you guys.
Go see Witch Taint at Mercury Lounge, May 23rd.
Yes,
I'll be there. Dave will be there. We can all hang out. It'll be
it's
fun.
Gonna be sick.
And yeah, cool.
Sweet. Put on some action music now.
All right. Right.
All right.
See you. Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.